Friends, I invite you to take your copy of God's Word. God's Word, turn in it to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, the middle of the New Testament, chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. If you are visiting with us here today, we again give you a warm welcome. We're glad to see you. And if you came and you don't have a Bible with you, just look in front of you. You'll see one right in front. Grab that, follow along, turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. And if you don't have a Bible of your own, please take that one home with you. That's a gift from the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Well, it was 1 year ago, almost one year ago exactly, that we talked about the growing recognition of servants in our midst. It's a year ago. Characteristic servants identified by their character, and here it is, their labor among us. Those two very important things, character and labor. A group that was stepping up and standing out for carrying the mantle of service. Biblically, as we noted last year, and we went through the New Testament, if you remember, providing support and relief for us as elders. That's what a group like this in the church has done and does do. And also providing not just support for us in leadership, but an example for you, Westmount, as leaders in service. Last year, we not only noted the emergence of that group, but also providentially how that recognition arrived precisely at the time when we needed it. We needed it. We regressed to a point where we need that relief and support. That growing need, if it was true a year ago, believe me, beloved, it is all the more true today. We need that support, and God has provided here at Westmount Bible Chapel. And so as we recognize the need and we recognize the servant leaders, we turn to God's Word. That's what we do for all things here at Westmount. Those of us that have been here for a while know that's how we do it here. We turn to God's Word. What does God have to say? And we saw that there was a blueprint, a template of this very thing in the early church. We looked at the church in Acts, remember? That's where we anchored. We went all over the New Testament, but we specifically anchored in Acts 6, to be precise, where there was a need. Remember that growing and exploding church had a problem. Do you remember? The widows were in need. Some of the widows were being neglected. So a growing church had growing needs, and there was the call and the commission for help. And that help specifically by the way of official servants or deacons. Deacons, the office in the church of service, also known as the office of deacon. The deacon, one of two offices along with the elder that Christ has implemented for his church, and an office, the deacon, that we have studied, given specifically to address the needs of the church. That was the case in Acts 6. The early church had needs and a very certain set of needs, so a very specific group was raised up. And note this, not spiritual needs per se, those are always there, and the elders are always devoted to that. No, besides those, there are meals needed, like we saw in Acts 6. There are bills to be paid, wires to run, and schedules to plan, and on it goes. And rather than have those very practical needs, those physical needs, fall to neglect, God has provided support. Our benevolent, caring God has provided care by way of the deacon, or as a group, as we know them, the diaconate, they are called. And that was the case in Acts 6 with the installation of the six deacons, and we looked at that last year, that passage. And that continues to be the case in churches since, churches like Philippi. Philippi, where when the church is greeted, when you open that letter to the Philippians, this is what you read at the very beginning of the letter to the Philippians. To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and the deacons. Those are three groups represented there in that church. The saints, so that'd be corporately all. The overseers, right? The spiritual heads of the church, the elders. And the deacons, the servant leaders. In fact, that's precisely what they are. The word deacons is diakonos, which we mentioned last year, is an official title that simply means the servant. More than surveying or service, that title, when you see it in the New Testament, specifically attributed right there in Philippi is one example, it's an official office, an official title, hence the servant. By that, you would say, well, aren't we all called to serve? Yes, we are all called to serve. Let's not miss that. We just sung that we follow Christ's example to serve. All of us, beloved, are called to an attitude of service. But some are actually called to an office of service as a biblical role in the church. That means some are handmade by God, called and recognized in God's church. Churches like Philippi and churches like Ephesus, just to name another New Testament church that we've looked at. Remember our study in 1 Timothy a few years ago? Do you remember that? We looked at 1 Timothy 3, and we looked at the office there of deacon, not only elder, but deacon. And we actually revisited that chapter last year when we went to that study. So servant leaders throughout the early church, Jerusalem, Philippi, Ephesus, and also in the letter that you have open in front of you, the church you have in front of you, Thessalonica. The church whose first letter is the one that we will look at today. This young church, when this letter was written, was new and bursting. Many scholars think that 1 Thessalonians, that epistle, one of the first letters written, an earlier letter of the New Testament, not necessarily by way of chronology in your New Testament, but when it was written. So this is a new, vibrant, bursting church. This letter is filled with wonderful lauding from the Apostle Paul. And one of them is this, and you can turn the page back to look at the introduction to this wonderful letter. It opens with this glowing, glowing statement from the Apostle Paul. Look at how it opens. After he gives his greetings of Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, look at verse 2. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers. I mean, that you just feel that appreciation. That's verse 2. Then look at verse 3. Remembering before our God and Father, and note this, your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. You just get a sense when you read those two verses by way of introduction, the type of church in Thessalonica. I mean, the labor of love, the recommendation in Christ. This church, as we look now to chapter 5, when you think about a church laboring, established, growing, presumably with leaders and offices established, and that'll become clear in a moment, leaders made up, if we look at the template in the New Testament from the early church, made up of elders and deacons, presumably in this case in Thessalonica, installed and in place. As we look to chapter 5 this morning, we'll observe a passage that's very apt for us here at Westmount in this season, in this next step where we're looking to recognize the servant leaders among us. That said, I should point out this morning, as you just scan to chapter 5 and even just give a bird's eye to the two verses that we're looking at, verse 12 and 13, I would be remiss if I didn't point out the fact that this passage has all the leaders in view. There's no question about that. All the leaders of the church. That includes both elders and deacons, and we'll see that in a moment. However, we will zone in on the principles for us recognizing servant leaders, and you're going to see specific language in this text about that. Precisely, we would look at what does the Bible say about our attitude and our approach to leadership? And even specifically to the servant leaders, the deacons today. Let's take a look at these two verses. Look at verse 12 in chapter 5 with me. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. Two short, simple, concise verses, but loaded with charge. Three principles, in fact, in this charge to the local church and us today, Westmount, that we need to heed as we recognize our deacons. First, we'll look at the call to respect. The call to respect. Look at verse 12 again. It begins simply with this: we ask you, brothers. Brothers or brethren, your cue that the saints of the church are in view. The saints of the church are in view. Paul then is turning to this young church with instruction for them. And what's the instruction? Let's look at verse 12. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you. Paul's directive is clear. Those among you, those in your midst, those working, those laboring, simply, what does he say? Respect them. Respect them. Now, it is true that in a healthy church, a committed church, all are serving, right? And we recognize that. We should desire that. In a healthy church, everyone is serving, everyone is plugging in. That's a church full of vitality where all the members are using their God-given gifts. However, that general call to service for the whole church is not the point here. And Paul goes on to say in verse 12, those who are over you in the Lord and admonish you. That tells us that there's a specific group in view here, a group with a specific role. You look at that word there, over you. That's actually the same word where we get prosthesis from, right? Where you get that sense of help, right? Maybe you think of artificial limbs and all of those different things, but there's a sense in that word, and the root of that word is support and care, a very important support and care. Elders and overseers do just that. We think about elders as the spiritual leaders of the church, and they need to admonish and they need to teach. But also in view here, the servant leaders, those who, look at it, labor among you. Those laboring, and that word, by the way, if you look at that word, it means not just to work. I need to kind of go deeper with the word labor. I mean, God could have used work here, but he uses a specific word that doesn't mean just work, but it means to work hard. In fact, that word labor there means to grow weary, to toil, and to exert effort that's above and beyond. That's within that word. And that's precisely the type of work of the servant leader and the deacon. And that's the work, Westmount, of those that we're installing today. I think of a few of them, the labor. I think of Jeremy and John and Julie. These are individuals who labor above and beyond. I can think of so many times with those three individuals in particular, laboring after a hard day, and I look at them and I'm here and they come in and they're tired. They've just, well, you know what it's like to work a long day, but they come in to serve you. They come in to serve you. They're laboring to the point of exhaustion as they come in to serve God. That is the picture in this word, above and beyond in their labor, so often peeking in on their lunch breaks, just breaks it all to serve you. That's the labor in view here, where these saints look to serve even when they're weary. Paul here says, in the wake of that type of service, that kind of example, God's instruction here toward that kind of labor among us, look at the beginning of verse 12, is to respect. Respect those engaged in that kind of servant leadership. And beloved, believe me, that is precisely what that is. That's servant leadership. That's out in front in service. Respect there means to know and acknowledge in the fullest sense. Respect means to know and acknowledge then to the point of appreciation, that we would fully know how much they are laboring for the church. And as such, respect biblically includes the sense of looking up to. That's just simply the way it was in the early church. You may think, well, this is just a 1 Thessalonians thing, or I hear principles here. Turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. Go right to the end of 1 Corinthians so that we see it's all over Scripture. This idea that is preached over and over again, those that are laboring among you, those that are doing the work of the Lord, respect them, esteem them. Look at 1 Corinthians 16. Scroll all the way down, almost to the end, and we're going to start in verse 15. Paul is giving his greetings here, and these are important passages of the letters, the beginning and the end, when he addresses folks that have been doing good work. In fact, we're going to go through a passage that may be familiar to you, and Paul does this all the time. He says, greet so-and-so, greet this person, greet that person, and mentions the work that they've done. This is the mandate in the New Testament. Let's pick it up in verse 15. Now I urge you, brothers, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Look at that word. That's an intense word, devoted. The household of Stephanas have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. So, verse 16, be subject to such as these. There's your respect. And to every fellow worker and laborer, I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, because they have made up for your absence. And then listen to this, for they refresh my spirit as well as yours. What's the response? Give recognition to such people. So here we have another church. We have Jerusalem, we have Philippi, we have Ephesus, Thessalonica, and here we see in Corinth. All the churches have this sense. Those laboring among you, look up to them, respect them. Same thing that we see when we think about Phoebe, for example, in Romans. Let me read you this from Romans 16:1. Phoebe, who is the deaconess in Cenchrea, that's one of the ancient churches, Paul says this in another closing of that letter in Romans 16, verse 1. He says this, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deaconess of the church at Cenchrea, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints. So we see this ongoing pattern. You had the household of Stephanas, right? Who knows how many in there were serving the church in a capacity. Phoebe and the servant leaders here, as we think back to 1 Thessalonians 5, the servant leaders in the midst of these churches, Paul, God, in his word, calls them to a response. In Westmount, the diaconate here laboring among us, God's word is for us too. We talk about that in so many things from the ancient church. And God says to us here, respect them. Respect them. Acknowledge them. Recognize them. Appreciate them. Church, this group doesn't just look to serve as part of their church experience. This is one of the things we would point out today. This group that we're installing today doesn't just look to tag on service to their church experience. This group lives to serve because that is their church existence. That's the difference with the group that we're installing today. They labor and have been laboring hard and well, so often behind the scenes, and in one sense, that's a testimony to their unending labor. One of the great compliments the elders can give to this group is things just keep going. You show up on a Sunday and you have no idea how things just keep going because of this group. They just keep the lights on. And beloved, as we recognize them today and install them officially, let us heed the call in God's word to respect. That's the call to respect the servant leaders of our church. That's one. We continue in verse 13 with the cause for love. The cause for love. Look at verse 13 with me. We continue, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Paul continues with instructions to esteem such leaders. And note it, and this is very important when we think about what we're called to do here at Westmount. Look at it. Don't just esteem them. He doesn't just say esteem them. Look closely. He doesn't just say esteem them highly. What does he say? Esteem them very highly. That would be the highest regard for such servant leaders. And even more, Paul addresses the heart. There is nothing here of a begrudging esteem. Can we see this? Like the cheerful giver, there's nothing here of a begrudging, yes, I guess I gotta esteem them. Nothing at all here with that. Look again, very highly in love. Very simply, we would say this, love them highly, love them much. Now hearing that, what we can't miss here is the basis for this love. So key, friends, on an installation day like today. What is the reason for the love? Look at verse 13. Because of their work. Do you see that? Because of their work. Now, don't miss this. It doesn't say love the office of deacon, although we should love the office. It's a biblical office. It doesn't say love them because they're deacons, although we can do that too, and we should do that. And it doesn't say, this is our instinct, love them because they're lovely people, and believe me, they're very lovely people. And we love them for that. But what the text says here is to love them because of their work. because of their work. The text states plainly that our love for them, our focus in love, is their labor. And church, their work is really why they're being recognized as deacons today. We've talked about their character, we've talked about our need, all important and biblical, but here, what's in view as the foundation for esteem and for love, don't miss it, is their work. That's important to note because it's not about glorifying people today. In fact, a day like this, it's been a pleasure for us as elders to see this group squirm through a day like today because this is not what they're about. They don't want the recognition. They would wish this day wouldn't happen. But that is precisely the DNA of these people you're going to see today. They know that it's not about them. And even more, all kidding aside, that's their heartbeat, to glorify God, not themselves. This command here reminds us that it's about the work. They would remind you of that, and we would too, and of course God's word tells us, work for the Lord with working hands from God alone, nothing that we offer, and thus to the glory of God alone. We love them, indeed, but here we love the work. In Westmount, just a peek at the labor and work of this group. If you were just to peek in to the work of this diaconate here at Westmount, it shows that there's much to love. I think about Bill and Jen holding down full-time jobs, yet also holding down what would be full-time positions in other churches here. That's what these two do. They serve you 100% in roles where people are on staff at other churches to do it. That's what Bill and Jen do. Yet they hold down full-time jobs as well because they labor and they love the work. That's what's in view here. Paul says here, because of that kind of devoted work, because of that work, Westmount, love them. Love them. Love them for their work. Church, all of the servant leaders we are recognizing and installing today are lovely people, beloved brothers and sisters, saints of character who are easy to love because of who they are, and we do that naturally, but here Paul says our love for them is more than that. Our esteem for them looks at their work. Our love for them flows out of their labor for us. And what we appreciate in this type of relationship, note this, is that it's fitting. It's very fitting today and for the deacon in general. It's fitting that we love them for their labor because why? They love their labor. We love them for something they just simply love to do. This labor of love for the church, true of all those we recognize today, just like it was in the early church here in Thessalonica. Remember the first chapter of this letter we read at the beginning, right? Paul remembered fondly what? Thessalonica, their labor of love. Labor of love. Same labor of love that's embedded in this group. I can't tell you how many times we hear we'll say thank you, and they'll say, it's a joy. The joy, there's nothing to thank. Yet they have done this great service for you here at the church. And not only a joy, but a joyful extension of who they are. You engage them in their work and say, well, thank you very much. You talk to any one of this group, and they'll say, well, of course I would do that. Of course. And it's not just it needs to be done. They love it. They're cheerful. They're joyful. They want to serve you. And friends, that sentiment affirms their calling to the office of deacon. Again, can we say this morning, all are called to serve, but not all are called to be servant leaders. Think of 1 Corinthians 12. We looked at the church in Corinth already, that chapter about the uniqueness of the body, right? One body with what? Many members. You know that chapter in 1 Corinthians 12? Well, it's all about the unique gifting that God places on the body and by extension, the local church. God uniquely gifts. I look out on this congregation here at Westmount and there is a wonderful quilt and mosaic of gifting here. And this group of servant leaders, right, are simply doing what God has called them to do and be, uniquely gifted by God. They are called to be servant leaders here at Westmount. And as such, beloved, let's take our cue from the text. Let us esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Okay, that's the cause for love. We looked at the call to respect, the cause for love. One more in these verses comes right at the end, the calm with each other. Look at the end of verse 13. It simply says this, be at peace among yourselves. It's final exhortation you may look at that and see, this seems very odd. This is an odd addition to what's come before. Why are we talking about peace all of a sudden? The command to be at peace with each other. Why here? Why is this important in regards to our approach to leaders? Well, it could be that recognizing leaders causes a stir, not a calm, right? Other perspectives, other opinions, agendas weigh in, right? When people find out things, it could be that. Touches off a bit of a firestorm in the local church. It could be that. It could be that respecting leaders and loving leaders, let's be honest, is hard. It's hard to do that. You might hear someone say, well, that's not how I would do it. That's not what I would do. So it could be that. It could be many reasons, right, that are spoken into chaos that would call for calm in the chaos. However, that's not what's in view here. And we just simply have to go back. Remember our hermeneutic study. What's the first tool? Context. We just simply go to the context to answer the question. Why here? The commands to look at them, respect those laboring, esteem and love their work. God's instructions to simply recognize and align with his plan for the church. That's it. That's it. The call for peace comes on the heels of God's plan outlined. Yes, we come and follow, but often we don't come and follow peacefully. Yes, we might not say, right, that we have a peace issue with God, but with others horizontally, we tend to get a bit rowdy, don't we? Right? We don't necessarily would say we have an issue this way, but when it comes to our brothers and sisters, we get a little unglued at times. And here God's word simply says, be at peace among yourselves. I have given a template. I have placed it on the church. I have risen up folks that do this, do that, and the other. Be at peace. Be at peace among yourselves. That's the call from God for calm with each other. That calm that can only come from recognizing God's plan, which is the office of deacon. That calm that can only come from recognizing God's people, God's gifted people. And such peace, as we say so often at Westmount, the result of recognizing and resting in the plans and purposes of our perfect God. He knows, we follow. He's perfect, we're not. Peace comes when we follow the perfect one. We nod to that, but we also recognize, again, that it's hard. It's so hard to be at peace. You know what's amazing when you look at this passage? How hard is peace? It's a command. The command is to be at peace. So those of you struggling with peace, be encouraged. It needs to be commanded in the Christian life because we're prone to chaos. We kind of have a way of following the disordered. And God says here, be at peace. Have calm with each other. Peace, certainly then, difficult for many, yet here, too, think about the context in view of the servant leaders, those that are out in front when it comes to peace and calm. Those who we think of right away when we hear verses like Matthew 5, verse 9. What does that say? Blessed are the peacemakers. And they are blessed. And believe me, in this group, we have peacemakers. We have Tinka and we have Julie that are incredible peacemakers. We think about those two ladies in particular that probably know everybody in the church. We think about one that's prayed for all of you in the church. I can't count the ways. And one that's probably involved in a record amount of ministries in this church, ultimately supporting every ministry in this church. Blessed are the peacemakers and the servant leaders that bring peace. That's what you have, Westmount, in this group, a group that is for peace. Those are our servant leaders. Those are the ones at peace among you. And we realize in our strife, in our dividing words, listen, we need the peacemakers. We need servant leaders that demonstrate to us what it means to bring together, not divide. That's what we need, not just at Westmount. Every church needs those kinds of peacemakers. So we're thankful for them. And we take their cue, their servant example, and we seek peace too. As we recognize them today, we too seek calm with each other. So, beloved, the charge in God's word toward these servant leaders is clear. Look at those two verses again. What are we called to do? We respect them, we love them for their work, and we are at peace with them and with each other. Westmount, can I echo that charge on behalf of the elders of our church? You know, the four of us, the four elders, met with this diaconate this week as a final preparation for this week. And I know I speak for the three other men when I say we were energized by this group. Here is a group that loves the church. And they love to serve the church. Men, what a blessing that was, wasn't it? And we had our meeting right after. It was absolutely incredible. No critical spirits, no tearing down, no someone else will do it. No, to see the seven of them, what can we do because we love this place? That is your servant leadership. What a joy today to have a group like this. And even more, Westmount, one thing, I mean, that was amazing, maybe selfishly for us as elders and maybe for you too as a church. One thing that really stood out with this group, and you will know this right away when you see them, is this faithfulness. There's no greater picture of faithfulness than you'll see in a moment. This group is the connective tissue of this church. This is the joints and the sinews of Westmount Bible Chapel in service right here, always binding, always working, never letting a ball drop. There's your image. Nothing's going to hit the ground with this group, juggling many, and mark this, always, always right here. This humble group not only loves the saints and loves their work amongst you saints, but they love this place. Hear me, they love this place. They love it. They love the church, they love the bride, they absolutely do, but they love this extension of the bride. This is their home. This is where their hands get dirty. This is where they are, and they want to serve you, and by extension, serve our Lord. And listen, their faithfulness is proof of just that. Now listen, two comments before we install them officially. Just some practicalities before we turn and recognize them. Since this is new for us here at Westmount and maybe for you, I have no doubt that some of you are sitting in your seat now with a ton of questions about deacons. As you should. What does a diaconate look like, function like? And listen, we're going to speak to that next week. Our early church series continues. We'll wrap it up next week, where we focus on membership. We'll welcome new members into the assembly. But we're also going to have a family chat. And one of the things we're going to talk about is what this relationship and what this function's like here at Westmount. So sit tight for that. That is coming next week. And as elders, we don't want to neglect that. But now we're simply installing them. So we're going to talk about practicalities next week. And in a moment, we're going to recognize them. We're going to lay hands on them, and we're going to pray for them as they begin to serve under the office of the church, this biblical office. And on that note, and here would be the second by way of comment, beloved, we pray for them. Like you do for us, so many of us as elders, we're so buoyed in our spirit when you say we're praying for you. And listen, those prayers are very much bearing fruit. Pray for them too. This is an official office, right, of the church. And can I say this? This is God's plan, and if it's God's plan, who doesn't like that? Satan. Pray for them, because it's all official today, and they will need your prayers. The four of us certainly need your prayers, and this group will absolutely need your prayers as well. They're a wonderful group, growing in the Lord immensely, serving you like crazy, but they need your prayers now as they step up to do the work of the Lord. So pray for your leadership here at Westmount Bible Chapel and the servant leaders of our church. So with that, Westmount, we now turn and officially ask each of you again. I give you one final charge, Westmount, to respect these servant leaders. We ask you, saints, to esteem them, this diaconate, very highly because of their work, their hard and faithful labor among you. First, I want to call the elders of Westmount up. So David, Jim, Gary, if you can come up here. And as they're coming up, we are going to lay hands on this diaconate and pray for and commission this diaconate. As the elders come forward, let me call forward your diaconate at Westmount. Jeremy Boyd, John and Julie Engelhart, Tinka Massa, Jen Scott, Julie Scott, and Bill Yeo, will you come forward? David Aldham, the chairman of the elder board, is going to give a prayer of installation for this group.
So we pray. Lord, we have heard your word, and we see you as a God who loves order and loves obedience. And now as we consider this time when we recognize seven people here at Westmount who would contribute to the order and the obedience here, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your instruction to us. We thank you for these seven people. For Julie and Jen and Julie and Tinka. For John and Bill and Jeremy. We pray your blessing on them as they seek to serve you and follow you. And we pray your blessing on Westmount as well as they work so tirelessly. We pray that the congregation here will support them, will respect them, will love them, and that there might be peace as we work together in your strength. Thank you for these people, and we pray your blessing on all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.